Testing, testing. All right. It's 1 minute after the hour, and it's late on a Thursday. And there's, I think everybody who is going to attend is here now, so we'll get started. Thank you for joining. We are very much interested in hearing from you all today. But we are going to give you a brief overview of where existing documentation about data import can be found, and thinking through all the levels of documentation, right? So what you need to maintain at your own institution, what's available in the Folio community, what should be available in the Folio community documentation. So I am going to turn it over to our colleague, Whitney Christopher, from Cornell, and she is going to take it away.
Hello. Hi, my name is Whitney Christopher, and I am the Automation Librarian with the Cornell University Library. Most of my work involves working with Folio, particularly data import, and that includes creating and maintaining documentation. And while we work to improve and better understand the needs of documentation for data import as a whole, I hope to provide some insights and tips to maintain your own documentation as it relates to data import. Some important things to consider when creating or maintaining documentation for data import or its related processes for your organization. Oh, can we go to the first slide? What should you be capturing? What information would someone need to successfully and seamlessly complete the processes you are describing? For data import, some important pieces of information to consider are, what does the data import profile do and why? What is the purpose of the job? Is it addressing an issue with vendor records, or maybe it's just creating or updating records? Whatever it may be sure to add it to the documentation. Who runs the profile and who is responsible for maintaining it? If people have questions or run into problems, is it clear who they should contact? Is any pre-processing required? Like mark edit tasks or scripts, be sure to list those processes, if any, and why they are necessary. You can also include links to tasks or scripts in the documentation. At Cornell, on our team, we have a GitHub, so it's easy to add links to scripts and tasks from GitHub into our documentation. What are your job profile naming conventions? Can someone determine what your profile does by the name? Are you naming all of your profiles the same way? Our preferred naming convention is vendor task or vendor material type and then task, something like EBSCO delete or EBSCO ebook update. So it gives people a real clear sense of what this job does and like what this documentation is for. Something else to consider is who's your audience? Who is the documentation being written for? And honestly, it doesn't really matter. You should always be creating documentation like your audience is new to data import, because there are always new people to data import. Be careful using jargon or acronyms that your audience may be unfamiliar with. And if you do use jargon or acronyms, be sure to state what they are, what they mean, or provide links that explain what those things are and what they mean. Try not to assume too much about how much of the process the audience may be familiar with. It is best to write as plainly and succinctly as possible. I think you can go to the next slide. Okay, it's not really there, but something else to consider is presentation. What are the best options available to you for capturing how to demonstrate a process or task? What platform would work best for capturing or housing your documentation? At Cornell, we use Confluence, so that is where all our documentation, that's where I write all our documentation and where it's kept. But maybe you use something like Google Sheets or Word. Can you or should you be using screen recordings or art images like screenshots and text most appropriate to showcase a concept? I like to use a mixture of both. I find that some things can become really long if you do image and then text, image then text. Sometimes it's easier and more succinct to do a screenshot and provide a list of the steps that are happening in the screen recording for people to follow. But be sure to consider any accessibility concerns your chosen method may present. whether using Confluence or Word or Google. I think they most of these platforms have basic accessibility tie-ins that you can use, like alt text, to make things accessible for people within who will be accessing your documentation. Okay, now you can go on to the next. Make use of templates. Why templates are helpful. It can be difficult to remember what pieces of information or processes someone will need to complete an upload, especially if there are special workarounds to accommodate data import. Having templates means creating documentation is faster and more efficient, helping to eliminate some barriers for people who feel like they don't have time to create documentation or they don't know where to start. It also prevents some of the quirks in processing from becoming institutional knowledge as roles change. I'll share a template, a blank template that we use commonly for data import documentation via the Data Import SIG Lab Slack channel after the presentation is over. Making time to create or update documentation. It can be very difficult to find time to focus on creating documentation. It can be helpful to have a recurring schedule, something like every 6 months, to go in and have a look to determine if anything is out of date and what documentation is missing. It can also be hard to choose what the cadence should be and who should be responsible for documentation. It can be helpful to, at the very least, create a skeleton of the information you have, even if you need to fill in some of the details later. It can also be hard to assign responsibility for documentation upkeep, but a good place to start might be with the person who was responsible for creating the data import profiles themselves. At my institution, I am the primary person responsible for creating data import profiles, and I'm also responsible for documentation, although there are times I need help for with clarification to due to changes in processes. These are just a few things to consider when creating your local documentation for data import. And while the setup may be different for every institution, hopefully this sparks some ideas on where to start. If you have created documentation for your organization that you think would be helpful for the broader Folio community, please feel free to share it via Slack or in the data import document with the data import documentation coordinator, Autumn Faulkner. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you very much, Whitney. Okay, let's keep going here. Don't do that, Google Slides. Okay, so documentation for data import primarily lives in two places, in terms of Folio community documentation. So one spot is the Data Import SIG wiki, which Jennifer will be going over with us. And the other place is docs.folio.org. So the documentation working group, these folks are the experts in terms of how this site is organized, formatted, updated. They have done some amazing work. It is very useful, but it is not super extensive. It's a baseline sort of documentation, at least for the, especially the data import area of the documentation. It is closer to what I would consider to be technical documentation, too. It's a very standardized, very well-governed documentation site. It allows users to tab between documentation for different releases. So, for instance, the Sunflower documentation is already available on docs.folio.org, but we're still in Ramsen. So, when I visit that site, there's a little drop down right at the top where I can go to Ramsen's documentation instead. There's sort of a variety of practice in terms of what ends up on docs.folio and what doesn't. And that generally has depended on what SIGs have decided to do. So there is a really nice page that the documentation working group maintains here. I think that's who maintains it. Mapping out not just where data import documentation is, but all of the I felt like I landed in a, on a treasure trove when I found this in the wiki. But data import is one of the functional areas that maintains more detailed, more in-depth, more informal documentation on the Folio Wiki, as well as a set of baseline procedures. This set of procedures is standardized. It is reviewed for each release to see if anything has been changed. Here's a look at that page I was just mentioning, and there's a link here too. So the documentation working group also maintains some of its own documentation outside of docs.folio.org. And it's for stuff like this. It's like, hey, here's a list of some sites that might be helpful to you. So just be aware that that's available. Okay, so the data import information on Docs is fairly cut and dry. It's going to give you basic user information like menu commands and duplicating a job profile or creating like what buttons you click to create a field mapping profile, right? But it's not very deep in terms of context or sort of concrete examples. And the data import SIG has been talking about, what is going to serve the community better, what is going to serve new adopters. Should we be expanding our docs.folio.org content? Should we keep using the wiki for our more informal stuff? Here's a comparison chart for you. Sorry, let me move my Zoom controls. Magic shortcut. Okay, so the discussions about documentation have led to a bit of a transition. We're in a like transition phase right now about what is kept where and what content we have decided to put where. You'll see if you visit the Ramsons version of docs.folio, we've got information about data import both on the data import page, but also the settings group of content, because much of what you do in data import is done in the settings app. For the Sunflower release, we have the main page, but since data import SIG has become a SIG and we're all legit now, we have instead of being under that metadata management umbrella in the documentation, we're now in the main sidebar. Again, the same settings app documentation, but we have also created, and I'll give you a preview of this, a more, what's a good word? Informal, I guess, overview of what the components of a job profile are and how you should put them together. If some of you were in the data import presentation earlier today, kind of that kind of info, like, for the layperson. So it includes some concrete workflow examples, which were super crucial to me when I was learning about data import. All of it in the abstract does not make a lot of sense to my cataloger brain, but once you get into, like, okay, you can use this to mark a record as cataloged. You can use this to put your work stat from the 949 field into a folio item record note. You just have to configure your job profiles the correct way. So we created this sort of overview page for Sunflower. It takes this more tutorial approach. And we're considering adding more content like this to docs.folio if it seems like a good fit and an appropriate place to put it. Let me just open this real quick. So this is located right now, and you can see here I'm in the Sunflower release. that. But we have sort of a graphical representation of how job profiles work, some example job profile structures to do certain tasks, and explanations of the different components, and some tips for you too. Big thank you to Alyssa Halfley from the Documentation Working Group, helping us, partnering with us to get that on the docs.folio.org site. Jennifer, you are up.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Eustace, Five Colleges. I kind of feel that the flow of this presentation is kind of like Folio. It starts structured and chaos ensues. If you know, working in a wiki is, well, challenging. I think once it was with Chris and Martin, I remember talking about product council pages where we just said that they were created sort of like mushrooms. I guess we have a mushroom farm, which we, yeah, I don't know. I like mushrooms. But anyway, so with data import, we created very early on a wiki page, and it actually was created with metadata management. It used to be called the tips and tricks pages. Now, if you've been in Folio long enough, you know that Laura Daniels, I think, and a couple other people started this because we had nowhere else to really document how to do things. And I think at that point, Folio Docs was either in the works or hadn't quite started yet. So we really didn't have a spot to document, like how to put something on order or how to place a request or how to change an item from, well, that's actually fairly straightforward. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that, but things of this nature, like, and of course it's data import, so how to create a job profile. So let's take a look at this. It was last year, really in London, that we did a complete overhaul of these pages. And unlike, as Autumn mentioned, unlike the docs, the official Folio docs, this is where you find data import syntax, kind of what can be created, what can be updated, a whole kind of view into EDIFACT. There are some things missing, MARC orders, so looking for volunteers for that. And we did this. And the main reason I work on this is because I forget things all the time. And so I really go to this page all the time. So here you can find the record types that can be created, a list, what can be updated, kind of the landing page, and the brief view of logs. And I know logs, this was rather complex. I was like brief view and then the larger view, and I was like, if anything doesn't make sense in what we've written, please, let us know. And I know that's kind of ironic when we're speaking of data import logs, but hey, what and we'll of course get use cases of how to make the logs better, right? But we also have log errors. I tried to put this in, what does this look like? At least for the ones that we sort of know and can identify. And we're like, oh, okay. Here, for example, mapped item is invalid. So what we have item records for our e-resources at the Five Colleges, don't ask. Anyway, people put in sometimes duplicate barcodes, and these are made up barcodes, by the way. So often, we get those type of errors. Uploading and importing, how to do this. You here's how you where you go, here's how you upload, select, click, run, confirm, all of that. Of course, if you've done this maybe three times, you kind of get it. Yeah. The settings page, we also have a lot of information on settings. And here's, I think, where really this is where you're going to be going a lot. This is where, especially the field mapping profiles for the syntax, I think it was you, Autumn, who showed earlier, like the 948, some fields A, for example, semicolon, else in process. So that's where you get this information. I also put in, other things. The only thing I didn't put in was mark orders, but there is EDIFACT files here. The mark field mappings are also here because I could never find them. You're maybe sensing a theme here. So whatever I couldn't find, and I was the reason I work a lot at this level is because if I need to find them, someone else probably needs that information as well. So, and for the people of the five colleges, I actually direct them here, just because then I'm not doing like, local doc. We do local documentation too, but I try to separate in what the level of what is there. And another thing that I just want to talk about, if I can find it, which I think is right here. And for these pages, these might be moved to our SIG kind of space. Since ORCID, we've been trying to detail all of the notes for each release. And it's not just the notes of what's been released, it's also documentation related to that release. It is difficult to find the documentation. It's a wiki and it lives a bit everywhere, especially if it's a technical documentation. So I try to dig that out and put it in here. So for example, if you're looking at the technical documentation for mark orders, I think that should be in Poppy, I believe. It's Poppy or ORCID. And that will get you to like, what is the flow? What were they trying to do? And all of that. So this is like a little treasure trove of information. For example, mark modifications, why can't you put a mark modification anywhere? That is explained with the Quisnelia release, for example. Oopsie. I'm just going to leave it like that. So the advantages here is because it's more or less unstructured, so to speak, we can put anything that we find of value or that we feel that is important to these wiki pages. Anyone can add to these wiki pages. It doesn't have to, I'm in there all the time, but it's not just me. There are other people as well. So that is very helpful. But the problem is there's no single person. It is very unstructured. And as you probably know, data import is changing rapidly from release to release. So unfortunately, information does kind of become stale after a while. And I know some people like there's a list of what is supported for what flower release, and people ask me, can you do this? And I'm like, no. I'm like, can you do this? And they're like, no. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll leave that page there. But so that is a problem. And I think searching for volunteers who have time and the energy to not only update these pages, but to kind of go and find the documentation and bring it into, one under this umbrella, it does take time. And, not everyone has that time to dedicate to this. So we are looking for volunteers. You don't have to declare it. You can just go in and do it. Hint, hint. So we're really looking for feedback. I think I don't want to speak for all of it to Whitney and Autumn. I think for myself, we've been part of the Folio community, not as long as some, but since 2018. And I think for some of this, we kind of, at least speaking for myself, I kind of gloss over now. I'm like, well, why are you asking that about mark modifications? Oh, wait, you're new. I'm so sorry. So we don't realize kind of the new questions that people or, issues that people have. So it is really helpful, even if you don't have the time to work on pages, that at least you provide feedback. What are your challenges? If you had an FAQ, what are your top 10 questions that you feel someone could answer if you needed an answer? And that would be super helpful. I want to open up that same question to Whitney and Autumn. Oh, what is the question? In terms of offering feedback for us, what would be helpful for you, or maybe in terms of comments and thoughts?
Yeah, I think both of the questions we have here are the ones that I've been pondering. What should go where? And, who's interacting with docs.folio as opposed to the wiki? And what's missing? Like, what do new adopters really need to know or have centralized somewhere that is easy to reference? Whitney, anything to add?
No, I think it's just as someone who is also relatively, as a person who is relatively new to Folio, that I'm also curious about for people who are also new to Folio, like if they have like what they have to say, because like maybe it's more or less how I feel about the documentation or how things are structured, and like I guess I'm also curious to have people contribute their documentation, because I think, again, being new, you have a different perspective about how to approach questions or confusion. And I would like to see people who also have those experiences write documentation from that point of view, because I think, again, being new helps with the kinks. Like you're not assuming any knowledge because you don't have that prior experience. So it really helps for people who are starting out.
That's a great point. Let me open the floor. Any questions in chat or from the room?
Not so much speaking as someone who's new to using data import, but as someone who provides training for people who are new to data import, I think one of the most important things for those learners is building that mental model of how the profiles go together. And I'm really excited to look at your Sunflower additional topics documentation because I hadn't noticed that yet. So I'm excited that some of that visualizing of how those things click together might be there. I wanted to add to this discussion just that I am a feral bookmarker in my browser, I might describe it as. So, like, I've saved the pages from these various areas that you're talking about that I know that I need to go to and that I need to refer people to. So, I've built my own little codex of how to navigate this, but I couldn't just hand those bookmarks to someone who's new to data import. That wouldn't help them very much. But I wonder if there's some sort of maybe this is an idea for your new DISIG homepage or something, some kind of like codex of bookmarks of like once you get the initial idea, here's the references you're gonna revisit the most or something like that. And I could share some of my bookmarks with you if you're really interested.
Yeah, thank you.
I think that's a great idea. Thank you.
So at Stanford, we're about 2 years in, and I remember trying to learn all of this. And I would say docs.org for me was really data import for people who don't use data import. It's to tell them what is actually going on, but it shouldn't be telling you what to do. There's too much going on to know what to do to actually fit anything reasonable in a reasonable page size there. So I don't think that should be really where people are going. Things that would have been really helpful for me is what doesn't work. So there's the export profiles button that just doesn't export, or you can match on Mark Holdings, but you can't really. So you're trying to figure out what to do. And so what doesn't work would be really helpful. And also, I don't know if it's written down anywhere, but how the matching order matters. So if you match and do action, it will do that. And then if your next match doesn't match, it won't do the next action, but it will still do the first action. And so that was trial and error for us of figuring it out. And so just really those small things would be, I don't want to say another tips and tricks page because that's, people don't go to that, but like, getting the small details written down somewhere would be very helpful.
Yeah, that's a great point. I know for us at the five colleges, sometimes it's what they need for documentation is not what is done in Folio, but how to prepare. We spend a lot more time preparing our files. So there's a lot more. We use Markedit primarily for that. And that's where I see people getting confused. Or sometimes with our, you know, ETL round trip, where we have one export profile that exports all, you know, instance, all holdings, all items. And in order to get around kind of the fields that appear in all three records, we use an H for holdings and an I for item. And we had someone recently who, you know, exported, did their work, and just loaded that thing back up. And I'm like, oh, no, you know, and we were struggling with that, honestly, because we did less of this in our previous system. So, you know, how, especially for someone who doesn't do that frequently, how do you remind them of this? Yeah, very challenging.
I also wanted to just point out that I found this page of flow descriptions to be extremely helpful. It's kind of buried, but it shows you the proper order, and it's quite technical. It gets a little technical, but you can still kind of puzzle out from this correctly ordered components. I know.
We should link to that from the tips and tricks.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's sort of there, but it should be centralized and put somewhere more accessible.
This is just a question. Do you think that there is a way for somebody who doesn't know data import to follow documentation and learn how to do it? Like independent. And I'm asking this in all honesty because my knowledge of data import came totally from Christy Thomas, like sitting down and walking me through it. And I wonder, like, I don't know that there is a way for somebody to teach themselves this with a manual almost. It seems like it's just so complex that it's almost impossible to do that.
I think EBSCO has some training videos, right, for EBSCO customers.
They do. I would say one of our systems, like, well, maybe two, they catch on it without reading documentation. But I think they already know Folio.
I promise I was not going to say EBSCO training resources. I'm from EBSCO, just in case anyone doesn't know. No, I was going to say there was that set of videos on Google Drive that Anne Marie made.
Yeah.
I learned from some of those
Me too.
Back when I first learned it. And obviously they would probably need adjustment and a different focus maybe now, but that could be a really valuable project to have some kind of, especially like Whitney was saying about local documentation too, a screen recording can be so valuable to click these steps into place. So that's a big project to invest in, to redo some of those videos or to reorganize that. But they were really valuable for a lot of us, I think. So, yeah, they're very.
And we have this. And we do link to them, I think, from our SIG page. So, I mean, some of them for the basic stuff, just create an instance. It really hasn't changed since Goldenrod.
So part of what I do, this is Vivian Gould at Mobius. Part of what I do is create documentation. And I am, I would say, somewhat skilled at creating documentation using screenshots and steps and everything else to give people. We also do training videos, and we also use EBSCO produced training videos. But not everybody is going to learn from a video. Some people need to stare at documentation for a while until they are able to get it through their brains. I don't have anything yet, but I almost feel like that was a challenge accepted kind of thing. So maybe I'll be working on some documentation on how to teach somebody how to do data import without watching a video. And if I do succeed in that, I will run it by y'all.
Jen.
I'm a little curious what Whitney would say about self-teaching data import, because she joined our team and I was like, good luck. So I would be interested in hearing from her about that. But I was also going to say, so Whitney is our expert for data import profiles and jobs and everything. So she knows how to do that. The piece of loading, which means people, it would be really nice if they could understand how to read the logs. So I know we don't have to go into in-depth with it, but like that's the, you know, for us, the experts know how to do the job profile, but it would be really great if the logs were understandable and if there was documentation for them so that the distributed people can also know what's going on, because it's really hard.
Whitney, did you want to?
I feel like someone's talked a little bit about this earlier. Again, I started out looking at docs.folia.org, and like it basically told me what Jen was able to tell me. Like, I didn't find that when it was time to go and create a profile that the information was very useful. I depended a lot on the wiki, and as a person who likes to read documentation, but is also very much a visual learner, it was a little overwhelming because there was so much information and I didn't really know what I needed to know in order to get started. So I felt a little bit overwhelmed. But I found, in combination of going to the data imports SIG working, I guess we're just a SIG now. We were a working group at the time, the working group meetings, and coming to the data import lab, and honestly, a lot of trial and error and test in combination with the wiki documentation helped me to get my bearings. But it is hard. It's hard because data import is it is both complicated and also like has a lot of limitations that you need to consider outside of what like the documentation can cover. So yeah, I think definitely talking to people, the people in the Folio community from the data import SIG, was really important in combination with the documentation in order to get my bearings with data import.
That's really interesting. I think maybe going back to what's not on all of these platforms, because I think what we don't do a good job with is what's not working, which honestly, I'm not, I don't know exactly what's not working. Sorry, I'm looking at Ryan. No pressure. But I think that's hard. We know in some instances, but not everything. Sometimes we try something new, and then that's when we learn, oh, I've never used update a field. It really isn't working as expected. So I was wondering maybe for you, Whitney, or Autumn, or anyone in the online or here, how do you think you might help your staff deal with that? I mean,
yeah,
Yeah, we have a Slack and internal console page we keep track of and just kind of share with each other as we find things out, which is not very useful to other people because Stanford locks down our console, or it's Confluence. We brand everything console.
Yeah, I find myself, especially if we get a lot of those same recurring issues, that I try to make documentation for it, like especially for troubleshooting. Like we have a procedure that's related to data import troubleshooting, but and you know we there's a timeline like when you know that as that is updated. But yeah, I think as I feel like it's kind of reactionary because sometimes there people try things and I don't know why they got an error. And then I find out and then it's like, okay, well, I'll write this down. And then someone else comes with it and it's like, okay, well, maybe I should add this to the documentation as a way to help them. I try to always point people to documentation first because, you know, because the people who work with data import who are not who are just, you know, performing loads and things will likely run into the same things over and over again. It's easy for the documentation, but for like people like on the rest of the team or like myself, it's hard because sometimes things are new and different. And it's again, being new, it's hard to know like things that have changed between releases or something that used to work that doesn't work or what the expected behavior is all the time because I started when I started here, I think we were already on Quisnelia. So it's like, or I think so. So, or maybe we were trying it. Whatever the case was like, yeah. So I don't know, always know what those things are. So I think it's just hard. I think you try to keep up with the recurring themes, but outside of that, it can be difficult.
At Mobius, we're trying to foster a community of, you know, peer support. A lot of our libraries are used to, oh, well, you know, we'll just call MCO, Mobius Consortium Office, and they'll fix everything for us. And it's, you know, we're learning that it doesn't quite work that way within the Folio environment. But I mean, we have a whole bunch of discussion lists, and we do a bi-monthly open hour session for our members, and we've got a wiki where we are encouraging our members to share, you know, documentation with each other. So there's a lot going on. There are a lot of communication channels going in various directions. And our members, you know, we range from people of like the, oh my God, just tell me how to do my job and then leave me alone, all the way up to the power users that, you know, could very well be working for the consortium office, except that they're working for the libraries. So it's at the start, it was still very top down from the consortium office down to the membership, but people are starting to get the idea that this is not that kind of model anymore. And people are starting to support each other and create their own documentation and share that with each other.
But that's interesting what you said, Whitney, about, you know, having a page or a process for troubleshooting, which I'm looking at our systems person. Do we have one? Not for data import. It's kind of in our mind. I think we do go through some steps, but it's kind of improvised. Yeah, it's very unstructured. Now you know why I work on the wiki. Yeah. But that's a good idea, I think, too, to have not just documentation on, you know, how it works, but also what happens when it fails. You know, what can you do? And for this, like the file splitting, I find very helpful because you can download that original MARC file that was used. Because one of the things I search first is, well, I look at the logs and then, you know, is the MARC file valid or not?
The same topic. So if you have a word. Okay. Slightly different topic, but another suggestion I was thinking of, especially in light of, I really, really love the local documentation part of your presentation here, because I think that's a huge question that libraries coming to Folio have is how to even begin to, they're trying to understand it and then they have to understand how to document it. And there are so many local choices you're going to make about how to use it that. So, did I hear you say that you're going to share with the DISIG Slack channel a template of some kind that had been created? Whitney's nodding. I think anything that we could do to help people understand how to document for themselves the choices they're going to make is also really, really, really valuable. And I don't know where to start with that because I don't have a lot of the good suggestions for it right now. But local documentation is almost always going to be the first thing that the librarian should reach for at their institution, right? And then secondarily, all of these overall resources from the community. So that emphasis on do your own clear local documentation is a really good one. And I'm glad that you surfaced it in this presentation.
So I have on my list, I've been taking notes, I think a place for everyone to share their local documentation would make a lot of sense, as well as a centralized page of wiki bookmarks. A list of what doesn't work for quick reference. That flow, kind of the order of components, video tutorials. So I think I'm seeing like a clear delineation between sort of fast facts about data import, right? And then in-depth how to use guides. And maybe docs is for the good old fast facts, like the official, that's the brochure, right? And then the wiki can be, I mean, I think Whitney made a great point earlier. It's hard to find time to document stuff. It is not the sexy task. It's always the thing that you think of last. I know we have trouble keeping it updated locally at my own institution, but it really is so crucial and you end up regretting not investing time in it. So maybe the DI SIG can talk about having some sort of regular, you know, wiki documentation review, maybe assign some responsibility. And then I also have a suggestion for a page that talks about what happens when it fails and what you should do next. Did I capture everything? Any other suggestions or questions?
This is very biased of you have to have MetaDB for it, but we do have various SQLs that we use, and that might be useful to share with other people because we have a SQL that returns all the errors in certain jobs because we find especially, so we don't have splitting on, we have an app that chunks things up. And so we don't have the original MARC file. So just getting the SQL of errors is very useful for the whole job rather than paginating through 5,000 records. So.
Yeah, those kinds of homegrown solutions. I mean, for anyone who was in the Library of Congress presentation earlier and what they've figured out to support their own workflows. That was amazing. I love that content, that kind of content, because you don't know what you don't know. I didn't know there was, you know, a way to set up SQL queries to report, pull out logs. So, yeah.
But that information is something we can use, like once we get to reporting, saying, you know, this has been helpful for those that have like LDLite or MetaDB, and, you know, we should offer it via the UI somehow as well. So, and that offers some concrete kind of examples for the developers of, you know, what we find helpful.
We are almost at time. Any last questions? Suggestions? Wow, you made it.
Yay, happy WolfCon.
Thank you, everyone. Please continue to share your ideas if you have them. Come to DI SIG, throw it in the Slack. We'd love to hear from you. Whitney, if you're still there, thank you from me and from Jennifer, from the bottoms of our hearts.